This is the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Farrah and Farrah, Brooks Rehabilitation, Wells Fargo, Geico, Sonny's Barbecue, Cars.com, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's Cole Pepper.
Well, the Jaguars open up in less than memorable fashion in the 2011 preseason, a 47-12 loss in New England. But most of the talk tomorrow at the water coolers will be about one guy, Blaine Gabbert, the Jaguars' rookie quarterback, and his performance working with the starters against largely second-teamers throughout the course of his time today. Not a whole lot of starters seeing any action from the New England Patriots, but Gabbert, 9 of 16 for 85 yards, sacked three times, led three drives that resulted in field goals, and it will be Gabbert who will certainly be the talk, I think, of most of the Jaguars fans' conversations tomorrow. Marco Coleman joins me here in Jaguars Central. Marco, you agree with that assessment that that'll be the central, the point, and maybe the most important because, you know, hey, the first preseason game, it doesn't mean that much anyway. Get a first, get something on paper, then work from there.
Definitely. And Double Uno gives you something to talk about. The first
Double rounder. Uno, you're going.
There we go. So he comes out, and he did a pretty decent job, I think, all considering, not having any mini camps and a rush, not only absorbing the playbook, but just absorbing being a professional athlete. You know, it's not a big enough time to really adjust and really grasp where you are right now. You know, and he has to do that during probably the toughest time during training camp.
This bears repeating, as it seems I do each and every year about this time. You don't analyze a regular season game the same way you do a preseason game. You're looking for different things, and you're looking for different things based on which preseason game it is and who's going up against first-teamers, against ones, and twos against twos, and ones against twos, and everything else. But usually in the first preseason game, what I like to see is how do the rookies look? How do the new guys look? Do guys look like they're fitting together? Mm-hmm. Not so much for productivity. Does it pass the eye test? Did the Jaguars pass the eye test to you today?
Tough to pass the eye test today beyond those guys that you know what they can do. You know, you figure the new guys, Sessions, Landry, you know what those guys can do. And they made plays during the course of the time that they were in the game. You know, you looked at Gabbert, and he came in and did about what you had expected. The offensive line going against second-teamers, they mashed them and did what they were supposed to do. But when you put in the guys that are the backups, they didn't hold up against the other teams. There were no game plan. I'm pretty sure it was very simple to where they wanted to see who can just go out and just make a play. And, you know, we didn't see any guys actually step up and actually do that.
I disagree. I think we saw a couple. We didn't see a lot of them. One guy who did stand out to me was Richard Murphy, the running back, number 34 you saw there. He made some plays, 7 carries for 43 yards. Again, he was a rookie, and he's doing it in the second half of a preseason game with third and fourth teamers in there. But, hey, you got to do it against somebody.
Yeah. Actually, that was one of the guys that I saw during the training camp. I mean, just run by some guys. And I was hoping that on special teams it would be an opportunity for him to get himself on the team because he showed a lot of speed and athleticism. You know, just not a flash. Not a lot of flash. Something that just jumped out and said, this guy is definitely a guy we got to keep. And, you know, at least here in his first preseason game, I didn't see too many guys actually presented that type of impression.
The other thing you want to see is how do the rookies look? Do they look lost? Do they look overwhelmed? Do they look physically, overmatched? And aside from Gabbert, the next Jaguars draft pick in the roster there is Rackley, the left guard, who I didn't have a chance to look at too closely. I was keeping a close eye on Gabbert, but a couple of times I did throw an eye his way. It looked like he was doing a decent job.
Well, I followed him, quite a bit during the course of time when he was in, and he did a really good job against a guy that has NFL experience. Love is a guy that played in several games, even started a game for New England last season, and he held up really well. Number 74, Love. You can say, okay, it was a mistake with the offsides penalty or the holding penalty that he had, but to me, if you're an offensive lineman, you don't get any holding penalties, then you're not trying to block anybody. And I think that
spoken
was
like a true defensive lineman.
That was a good indication that this guy, he's coming out and being extremely aggressive. I think it was a bad call, but you can tell that he had the intent going out and being extremely aggressive. No issues. I would say with Racklin going out and playing this tonight.
No Evan Britton, no Mercedes Lewis, no Maurice Jones-Drew. Certainly that would have made a difference for the comfort level, or at least the number of weapons that Gabbert would have had. But I don't think anybody's going to have a huge problem with Gabbert's performance. If you haven't been out to training camp to see him, you saw a strong arm. You saw a guy who can stand in the pocket, moves around pretty well. The sacks were a little bit of an issue, but something we'll talk about as we continue on with our coverage here tonight. The question, it's not so much, geez, look at all those sacks. It's, in my opinion, it's more of, can he learn from that and can he get better? Can he have a little better feel for it as things go on? We'll talk about that here as we Definitely. Continue on. Winn-Dixie postgame show rolls on. GEICO could help you save on more than just car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO for a free quote on motorcycle renters insurance and more. And don't worry, GEICO won't throw a flag for excessive celebration. Let's send it back to Foxborough now. More postgame analysis with Brian Sexton.
All right, we're waiting on the Bubba Burgers Coaches Report with Jack Del Rio and Jeff Loggeman from the locker room right now. This portion of the Winn-Dixie postgame show, live from Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, is brought to you by our friends at Cars.com. You know, the numbers in a preseason game don't really mean all that much, not when you lose 47-12. But it's worth noting that Blaine Gabbert completed 9 of his 16 passes for 85 yards. And we counted 3 drops. The most crucial of them was Mike Thomas, who had a shot there. Remember, the Jaguars got a field goal. And then on the very first throw by Brian Hoyer, the tight end Hernandez lost the ball. Jaguars recover. That drive, which could have put the Jaguars up 10-0 on third down, boy, I tell you what, the ball was right in Mike Thomas's hands. And so that one opportunity disappeared. So, not going to make excuses. The kid did some things well. He didn't do some things quite as well as they probably would have liked. Deji Kareem had 136 return yards tonight, and that really was it. Jason Hill had a couple of catches. It was good to see him. The Jaguars are giving him the opportunity to own the number one position, and he really hasn't looked all that good in training camp. But tonight came up with 3 catches for 37 yards. Overall, the numbers are what the numbers are, 47-12. It tells you that there aren't a whole lot of them to talk about. Final stats check brought to you by our friends at Wells Fargo. And you'll hear Jeff Loggeman all season long with Wells Fargo updates at the second quarter, at the halftime break, at the third quarter, and in the post-game show. Thanks to Wells Fargo for that. You know, beyond that, here's an interesting number. We told you that Blaine Gabbert completed 9 of 16 passes tonight. Todd Bauman completed 2. So in the second half, the Jaguars only completed 2 passes. Now, part of that was that Ryan Mallett really controlled the ball game in the second half, completing 12 of 19 for 164 yards and a touchdown. Stephen Ridley was sensational tonight for them, 64 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns. He also caught a pass for a touchdown as part of a 7-catch, 47-yard night. So on the Patriots broadcast next door, they're talking about all these numbers and they're analyzing all these numbers. And we'll talk about the absence of some of these numbers when the head coach joins us. Rashad Jennings, 6 rushing attempts tonight, 28 yards. Deji Kareem, 6 for 24 yards. So those two guys did pretty well. Time now to hear from head coach Jack Del Rio, who's standing by with Jeff Loggeman in the Jaguars locker room. Jeff?
Yeah, Brian, just hang tight. Head coach, just a quick conversation with head athletic trainer. I know, obviously, preseason games, one of the things that they've got to kind of keep an eye on is what's going on with injuries and traveling back to town. And
sure. Well, hopefully the coach will give you a good injury report brought to you by the folks at Brooks Rehabilitation.
All right, well, here he is, Jack. Obviously not the result that you wanted, but it's the preseason, first game, and preseason is always a work in progress.
Yeah, no, not the result we wanted for sure, the way we, in particular, in the second half. I mean, just really did nothing. I thought first half early, I thought it was competitive. Obviously, they didn't play a bunch of guys. We didn't play a bunch of guys. But it was a good night for evaluation. And, we'll just leave it at that.
The first time you ever have a first-round pick kind of starting first preseason game. Had a couple field goal drives. Your thoughts on his performance?
Yeah, I thought it was encouraging. He did some good things. Made some nice throws, came out, and it didn't look like he was in awe of the situation. All of a sudden he's thrust into the game right away. So I thought it was pretty solid. I mean, we had a couple drops that could have been nice to have for him, would have kept drives going and potentially led to touchdown drives instead of field goals. So we kicked a couple field goals early, moved the ball a little bit, and he was at the forefront leading the way a little bit. So that was good to see.
I think probably if this were a regular season game, the two things you'd be talking about right now, hey, you know, you get the ball on a turnover early in the ball game at point blank range, you have a great kick return by Deji in great field position. You want to cap those off with sevens instead of field goals.
Oh yeah, there's no question. I mean, we'll talk. I mean, we're talking about that now. Even though it is preseason, it's still you've got to be able to go down there and score. I mean, you get a ball like that, a treat like that, force a turnover on one, get the ball in great position, and then on another with Deji's return. Those are two great opportunities to jump up on somebody, and you've got to do that. And so, you know, clearly things that need to be done at a much higher level, and we'll look to make that improvement as we go on.
This is a different preseason maybe than any other. I mean, you're acquiring guys kind of on the fly. Some guys weren't able to practice for almost the first week of camp. Didn't play a lot of guys tonight. Your thoughts on what your plans are for next week to kind of find that rhythm in what is a very different preseason?
Well, I just told the team, I said, look, we played everybody tonight. It was very ragged at the end in particular. We had, you know, our back end of the roster getting a lot of snaps. I said, you guys aren't going to get that many snaps the rest of the way. The next 2 weeks in particular, you're going to have to be patient and try and do the best you can in whatever limited opportunities you get, because our front lines are going to play more the next 2 weeks. And we need to as a team, and we'll get an opportunity to do just that. And we're at home against a good Falcons team on national TV next week. We want to have a good showing, and we'll play our front lines much, much longer in that game. And so, you know, the second and third preseason games are going to be more indicative of what type of team we're going to field this year.
Any injuries to report? I mean, that's obviously when talk about preseason, that's one thing you don't ever want to have happen.
Really, just the one, Wesley, the defensive end, 91. Wesley went down with a sprained knee, and they're taking a look at it. And that's the only one that I know of in terms of a guy that would not have continued to be available for us. So I think everything else is pretty good.
Clint Session, okay. I know he came off the field. It looked like maybe he got something in his eye, or he okay?
Yeah, he was fine. Return cleared to return, but you know we'd already pulled him out, so we didn't play those guys much at all tonight. And when they're in there, I think one thing you can see, we're definitely going to be stout against the run, and I think you're going to see a much improved defense. I'm pretty excited about that.
All right, thank you, Coach.
Okay, Jeff, thank you.
All right. There's a little perspective from the head coach on what they were hoping to accomplish this evening. Scoreboard doesn't tell the whole story, according to the Bubba Burgers Coaches Report with Jack Del Rio and Jeff Loggeman. We'll come back, name our Buehler's Swiss Watch MVP. Well, not really. We're not going to do that in the preseason, but we will give you the Bud play of the game when we come back on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back to the Winn-Dixie post-game show. And let's go down to the locker room and check in. Jeff Loggeman has rookie quarterback Blaine Gabbert standing by. Logs.
All right, thank you, Brian. Here with Blaine Gabbert. And Blaine, first start and first NFL action, how'd it feel?
It felt good. There are definitely things we need to improve on, but all in all, when I was out there, we had some success, but we just got to capitalize on our opportunities more.
So many people have talked about, you know, the lack of OTAs, the lack of everything that normally a rookie would have kind of coming in post-draft, and you didn't get that. Have you talked to the coaches, had any sense of, you know, how limited or how advanced the playbook is for you at this point compared to, you know, maybe having that full off season?
Well, we're still in the installation process, which is extremely important for me since we didn't have all the rookie mini camps and OTAs and whatnot. But at this point in time, our game plans are fairly limited, but as the preseason goes on, we're going to get more and more in depth.
I would have to think that you're real happy. First game action, I didn't see any unnecessary timeouts, didn't see any false starts, didn't see any of the kind of the just the normal runnings of an offense. All were pretty clean. You had to be proud of that because, I mean, just running the offense from beginning from the huddle all the way to the field and getting the playoff has to be priority number one.
Exactly, and as a quarterback, you got to take pride in doing the little things right. And we wanted to almost eliminate all the mental errors, all the little things that could go wrong, unnecessary timeouts, delay of games, and from that standpoint, we did good. But like I said, we got to get better. And when we're in the red zone, we got to score touchdowns. We can't come up with field goals every time.
There across the field, second half, you got to watch Ryan Mallett. Did you have any a chance to meet him in the off season at the draft or wherever it may have been and develop any kind of friendship with him?
Yes, I met Ryan when we were at the rookie premiere in L.A. And saw him again when we were doing the rookie symposium. And he did a good job tonight. Threw some great balls and executed their offense well.
All right, Blaine, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, that's Blaine Gabbert-Loggs. Thanks so much. We'll see you back in Jacksonville. Time now. But first, I have to tell you that during the regular season, we will name a Buehler Swiss Watch MVP, and he will receive from Loggeman in the locker room a Buehler Swiss Watch. They're the official watch of the Jaguars, and they're available at Jacobs Jewelers in Jacksonville, Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, Lorraine's Diamond Tree over in Middleburg, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. Time now for our Bud Play of the Game, brought to you by Budweiser, who reminds you great times are waiting. Please designate a driver. This was simple. It was the most electrifying play of the game from Deji Kareem.
From the 35-yard line, right to left, end over end. This time Kareem is going to field it 3 yards deep. He's coming out. He's up the right hash, looking to come outside of the 15. He's got to hold the 20, the 25. There he goes to the 30. Makes a man miss. There he goes to the 40-yard line. Looking for blockers. Cutting across the field. Burst of speed, 50. There he goes around to the 45. He's got the corner at the 40. The Patriots are giving chase at the 30. He's to the 25 and the 20. And finally, run out of bounds. Inside the 20-yard line. Flags nowhere to be seen. And the Jaguars have it. First and 10 at the 18-yard line of New England. 84-yard return. The problem was the Jaguars couldn't capitalize. Deji might have scored on the ensuing play, but his legs just gave out. He was gassed. And, you know, they didn't have Maurice Jones-Drew, and they weren't playing much with Greg Jones tonight. And so they just took it real easy from that point on. 47-12, the final. Jaguars fall in New England. Three more preseason games to go. And after missing the offseason, there's plenty of work to be done. But plenty of work got done here this evening on the radio broadcast. Great to be back. I want to thank a whole lot of people. John Dineen making the trip up from Atlantic Beach to Boston to help us with some production quality. Nice, John. We appreciate having you around. My spotter on the road. Scott Kushner, our engineer here. Joe Fortunato, simply the best in the business, ladies and gentlemen. We are privileged to have him week in and week out. The entire crew with Cole, Marco, everybody back there. But tonight a big shout-out goes to Craig Kopcho, the engineer at WOKV and Cox Radio in Jacksonville. There were some issues with the phone lines here at Gillette Stadium, and Craig just, he jumped through hoops to get between the station and the stadium and put the right equipment in place and come up with a solution to solve the problem. And, folks, that's what makes America great. People like Craig who go and find a solution to a problem that they didn't even cause. So hats off to Craig Kopcho. He's probably our Buehler Swiss MVP. That goes to show you, right, Craig? No watch for you tonight. But, yeah, but you deserve it. So, final score for the final time, preseason game number one, 47-12. Folks, sometimes it's comma D, three syllables, and it is our key word sometimes in the preseason. Lots of serious football to talk about over the next couple of days, though. Thanks so much for joining us. Culpepper has it next with more of the Winn-Dixie postgame show than the Southern Ford Dealers scoreboard show here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Good night, everybody.
We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show now from Jaguars Central. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Let's get you updated on the other scores from the games going on around the National Football League in this first week of preseason activities. And it's a final in Philadelphia, 13-6. You'll notice a trend with some of these scores, everything except for New England. 13-6, Baltimore losing at Philadelphia. San Diego in the fourth quarter with a 17-10 lead over Seattle. Rather, a 24-17 Seattle lead over San Diego now. And Denver and Dallas tied at 16. Notice anything here? Only team scoring a lot of points, New England. Seattle's put 24 up, most of them in the second half with Charlie Whitehurst in at quarterback, and they've got been able to mix in with Josh Portis as well at quarterback. Just kind of, again, putting it in perspective, New England looks like a pretty good squad there.
I mean, you know, they do a great job of just filling in. You know, their scouting department is really good. They find the diamonds in the rough, and they do it consistently. And you can tell with the guys they had in the back. I mean, I don't know how they look. Their guys look a lot more crisp than the Jaguars players, you know, guys that have had the same amount of time.
Of course, I would say a lot of the guys who were playing there in the third and fourth quarter for New England were second-year guys who have had a year on it. Jaguars had an awful lot of first-year guys
first
in there. You know, you'd have to go back and take a closer look exactly at who got how much playing time.
Exactly. They're senior guys if they were actually with New England last year.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what we got today, and those are the games going on right now. Also getting underway, Arizona and Oakland, and a game that a 10 o'clock kick, and I just lost the screen here, so I'll have to get you an update in just a moment, as soon as we do, on that game, Arizona and Oakland. All right, we'll take timeout when we come back. We'll talk about the offense in a little more detail. What did the offense show today for the Jaguars, and what does it tell you long-term going forward? What are you expecting, and what will Marco Coleman say? That's on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show when we continue on right here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show from Jaguars Central after the Jaguars fall 47-12 in New England, a score that you will not remember in a week and a half. And you got the next preseason game to consider. Let's talk a little about the offense, Marco Coleman. You scored 12 points, all on field goals. Not a lot usually to write home about. Am I missing anything here?
Josh Scobie's feeling good.
No, that's special teams. That's not offense. helping me.
Well,
give me something on the offense.
The offense that we had that the Jaguars had last season is still intact.
A lot of guys actually wasn't intact today. You look at the guys who didn't play: Maurice Jones-Drew and Mercedes.
Josh Scobie, he's ready to play. He's ready for the regular season.
He's ready to go. He's ready. Geared up.
He's ready.
Although Scobie didn't kick them all. You know, you got the Fletcher High School product.
Yeah, true.
Sam Swank able to slide one through.
Slide it through. Yeah, true. The holders were different too. I mean, the holders,
they were all
on point today.
You like the whole? Okay, so again, let me go back and ask you the question that I asked you just a moment ago, and that is, how about the offense? Now, is there anything I missed? Anything that was positive?
The offensive line did a good job considering, you know, who they were. They did what they were supposed to do. Although Eugene Monroe, I think, early kind of struggled. You had some guys get around the corner on him. Matter of fact, it was the same guy, number 96. I don't know his name. But he was able to, every time he went on third and long, go against Eugene Monroe and actually beat him, which was not good, I would have to say, which he helped him earn a roster spot, I would imagine. and then the wide receivers. I really think that nothing was done to upgrade the wide receiving core, which I thought was, you know, one of the biggest issues.
Well, nothing major was done. Let me play the devil's advocate role on that.
Okay.
Jarrett Dillard's back and healthy. All right. There's another guy.
I'm scared.
I'm not.
Okay.
Who are you going to go out that was going to really make a major difference? Who wasn't going to be a clubhouse cancer?
There was enough. I think there were some guys.
Tio Ocho Cinco, convince Randy Moss not to retire. Come on, you don't.
They
want those
may
guys
not
to
fit the demographics. I would say of Gene Smith. You know, guys that are they don't fit what Gene
Ocho Cinco actually would have been the one guy.
But they would have been able to.
That
upgrade.
Was a trade, remember?
They would have been able to upgrade the receiving core. Yeah. We saw they dropped balls, you know, and without a threat at the running back position, where it creates a situation where someone from the secondary has to come down to make you short in the passing end. I don't see these guys actually being able to create things for themselves on just a normal third down. You know we're going to pass. Who are you going to stop type situation? There's nobody there to do that.
Well, I think what we saw today was the wide receiving battle for that fifth wide receiver spot go wide open. Right? I mean, Tyquan Underwood did not have a good game. Didn't get his head around a couple of times. Had, you know, not perfect passes, but you want to see a guy make a catch on a ball that's high. You got to go up for it a little bit, or it's a little behind you. You want to see a guy make the catch. We know Tyquan can run. The question is, can he hang on to the football? We did not see Armand Benz today. He was a guy who has flashed a little bit in camp, an undrafted rookie. I think if you're talking about the wide receivers right now, you've got Mike Thomas. You feel solid with having Mike Thomas.
83.
Right, Jason Hill. We didn't see Shorts today.
Yeah, Shorts didn't play.
And we think, you know, he's a pretty good bet to make this roster.
And I guess you have to consider
Mercedes
Dillard. Lewis.
and Mercedes didn't play. You're talking about the weapons who were out there.
Right.
You know, it was also very vanilla, as you know. And
true.
As Jack mentioned after the game, pretty ragged second half.
And those were all the guys that are competing to find a spot,
yep.
The very few spots.
Yep.
That's one thing that the Jaguars do. They have a lot of guys returning. There's only a few spots that are left that are up for grabs. You know, it's not
in
a lot.
In fact, Gene Smith said on Monday night, on Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, that there were maybe 6 to 10 spots that were up for grabs right now on this team.
And those are primarily backup spots, not
almost
starting.
Entirely. Yeah,
right.
You probably don't know what the right end is, and we'll see what happens with Ross.
Mincy was all over the place. I'm sorry, I've taken it back. Well, I didn't mention Mincy chasing the balls. He does.
Don't use up all your good defensive stuff in this segment. <Don't>.
All right, but he stood out. He definitely. But you figure, offensively, now one of the things, now David Garrard, other than Clawson and Campbell, he threw the least amount of passes all last season. Only two guys. And I don't think Campbell played every snap.
Right.
I don't think Clawson played every snap.
No, he did not.
Now, if you know, other than those two guys, David Garrard threw the least amount of passes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Anyone else, any other starting quarterback.
This is not a high-powered aerial attack.
And I think that's going to be the case again this season.
Yeah, because your two best offensive players are your tight end and your – and your running back.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, that's the direction you're going to go in. All right, that's the offense. We will take a moment here. I'll try to contain Coleman here. He's all fired up, first broadcast out of the gate. We'll get the defense when we come back. And we'll start with one young Mincy and see how, not as young as he used to be perhaps, but we'll see how Mincy did, Jeremy Mincy, and some of the other Jaguars on defense to see what kind of impact they could potentially make. As we continue on, this is the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. After the Jaguars' season opening preseason loss in New England, we're back after this timeout here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show from Jaguars Central. Cole Temper, Marco Coleman here. Now let's focus on the defense. You like what you saw out of Jeremy Mincy, so I'm going to let you. I'm going to cut you loose right there on Mincy. Here's a guy who may or may not be a starting right end with the impending signing of Matt Roth. Can Mincy be your starting right end if you're the Jaguars?
I haven't seen Roth play. I don't know a lot about Roth, but Mincy is all over the place. You know, when Mincy is healthy, it's really tough to knock him because he's going to make some plays because of his energy level. He's all over the place. He may not get to the quarterback, but when that ball is thrown, this guy, you know, when you talk about Campman's motor, this guy has the same type of motor. But he's bigger, younger, you know, a little bit more, you know, I think even more vigor than what you would see with Campman. I think Mincy is definitely going to be the guy.
He's a high motor guy.
And he makes plays. Yep. I mean, he makes plays, and he's, you know, and he's happy to be here. He's a guy that appreciates his circumstances.
He's been cut, brought back, injured, injured, the whole thing.
He's a guy that's hungry. He's going to give it to you every game.
And you know, some would say a little different style of player, but in terms of motor, you know, he's Paul Spicer's understudy.
He's got a better motor than Paul. Paul's my man, but Mincy's got him. You know what I mean? And Paul's, you know, definitely, but I liken him to Campman.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And I think he really has the same type of motor, what you see with Campman. A guy that's not necessarily the most technically going to just beat a guy right off the rest of the, just, you know, like Freeney, just run by a guy, but he's going to outwork you.
What do you see out of Austin Lane? He's certainly sparked a couple of times during the during training camp, the Oklahoma drill, and some other things. What do you see out of Lane tonight?
Well, Austin Lane has an issue with run blocking. He plays high. And I think, you know, that big frame is not a problem in the pass rush. But when it comes time to play the run, he kind of softens that. The edge gets a little soft with Austin Lane. I don't think he's not the player you want out there against the run right now. But, again, like I said, he's a young player that has some time to, you know, work on that aspect of his game. But right now, against the run, he's not that efficient.
Posluszny, Session, Landry, the three defensive starters who were brought in free agency. What'd you think?
Sessions is going to make a big difference. I mean, he just like again, you know, with the Colts, this guy's going to be all over the field, and he can play every down. You know, now just like you know, Smith.
Darryl Smith.
He doesn't have to come off the field. Now, when you're playing New England and they got two tight ends that can catch the ball,
yep,
you're going to have to definitely check out the situation, because if Poslanski is actually matched up on guys like that, I don't think
most middle linebackers are not coverage guys, though. I mean, yeah, that's
true.
Let's be honest.
And he's not. He's definitely fits that bill.
Yeah, he's a guy who can tackle. Landry looked pretty active, not afraid at all, sticking his nose in.
He's going to help again on that run defense. You didn't see too much to where he'll be effective against the pass, and it was made mention that his benefit will be against the run more so against the pass. So, mm-hmm, I think for him, the verdict is still out to see how effective he'll be once we go against the Indianapolis, the Houston Texans, to see how he'll be effective against, versus the pass.
And if you look at the numbers in terms of, what was given up today early on by the Jags, just against, before Ryan Mallett came in with Hoyer, 15 of 21, 171 yards and a touchdown, a quarterback rating of 111. It wasn't Tom Brady, but kind of looked like it. Again, don't read too much into it. As we like to say, one time it just happened. Two times you can start to say maybe it's a trend. So we'll keep it. Three times it's a streak, and then you're in real trouble. So we'll keep an eye on that throughout the course of the preseason. All right, we'll take time out here when we come back. The Sexton summary. Oh, what a production this will be. Also still to come, the Baptist Health coverage of the game and the protector of the game as well. Plus, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's all straight ahead here on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Winn-Dixie Postgame Show from Jaguars Central. After the Jaguars open up the preseason with a 47-12 loss to the New England Patriots. Time now for the Sexton summary, the highlights and lowlights of today's game. Through the calls of the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, or not, perhaps. There were no major plays, and in fact, other than the Deji Kareem 84-yard kickoff return you heard just a little bit ago as the Bud play of the game, oh yeah, Josh Scobie, 41-yard field goal, Sam Swank, 40-yard field goal, Scobie, a 29-yard field goal. That was the first half scoring. Jaguars straddled the break 19-9. It was 26-9 after Stephen Ridley's one-yard run, capped a 13-play, 82-yard drive. And then, with Ryan Mallett in the ball game, a touchdown to Ridley, followed by a Scobie field goal, and then Richard Medlin took to center stage, scoring a couple of touchdowns. And that was all she wrote. 47-12. Folks, I just hate to tell you, there just wasn't really much of a highlight to play. Well, we'll have a few to come. That was a Metro PCS Sexton summary with no signed contracts. Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. Back with the protector of the game and the coverage of the game. This is the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show after the Jaguars' 47-12 loss in New England. Time now for the Protector of the Game. It's brought to you by the Insurance Office of America. Protector of the Game, Marco Coleman, who do you have?
Mr. Will Rackley. I think he's going to definitely be a force in that interior line for that offensive line. I mean, he's going to pave the way for Maurice Jones-Drew.
You like that left guard, the rookie?
I like him.
All right. Remember, the Jaguars traded up to get him.
I think it was a good move.
And it looks like he's going to find himself right in there at left guard to start the season. The Baptist Health coverage of the game, brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville's Circle of Care. Coverage of the game.
Well, I consider it a little coverage, little big play, tackle type thingy.
Is that a technical term you just used?
Jones. David Jones caused a big fumble on the pass play, and recovered by Landry, I believe. I think I'll have to give it to Mr. David Jones.
All
coming
right
up with the big play.
Put him in David Jones' locker there. He
yes,
can
sir.
Take that and run. All right. We'll take time out, come back with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Wrap things up on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. Still to come, remember, in Jacksonville. We'll take your calls on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. That's still to come, but the good, the bad, and the ugly is next here on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. Back on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, winding down after the 47-12 New England victory over the Jaguars. Time now for Marco Coleman to unveil and shed the light of truth on the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Well, I'm going to have to say the good, Daisy Karim. He still shows his potential to go all the way. And we wait for him to go ahead and get to the end zone and score a couple now. You know, but he continues to break away on those kickoffs and look really good. He has a knack on those kickoff returns to break open. Now we need to get him into the end zone a couple times.
The bad?
I'm going to have to say that second, third group, man. I don't even say the second, third group, but that second half, the guys that were out there just aren't up to par. Just that you can say maybe it's the lack of off-season work for those guys and things of that nature, but right now they're just not up to par, especially compared to the same level of player that the New England Patriots had put out there. You know, so they need some work in the second end.
How about the ugly?
Ugly getting in the end zone. The Jaguars have got to go ahead and find a way to get in the zone. I mean, they've continued on from the end of the season. Okay, it's still the preseason, but let's go ahead and let's start scoring seven. Let's get in the end zone. Josh Scobie's leg is tired right now. We need some touchdowns.
All right, that is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Next week, Jaguars take on the Atlanta Falcons Friday here at Everbank Field. An 8 o'clock kick. It will be a nationally televised game on Fox. Pre-game coverage on the Jaguars Radio Network begins at 7. Earlier coverage in Jacksonville. We'll tell you about that in just a bit. Straight ahead, the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. For those of you in Jacksonville, we'll take your calls. If you have some thoughts you want to get off your chest here as we near the midnight hour. That's straight ahead, the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show, after we wrap up the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show here on the Jaguars Radio Network.